Good morning. It's 6:27 on June 29th, 2012. And I forgot to start up my tracker this morning. Just as well, I know how long it is. I don't really need to record it. Would have been fun, but hey. I forgot and left it running yesterday, so it thinks that I walked for an hour and 40 minutes yesterday. I didn't walk very far. Kind of ruined my average. Ah, well. Let's see. I got 3,200 words in my 3 hours yesterday, so that was a good day. I'm looking forward to today. I also realized that my class starts on Monday, so I spent part of yesterday afternoon working on the class materials, sending out email notices to the students, letting them know what the books are, what their expectations are, what my expectations are. Quite frankly, I don't care what their expectations are. I'm actually hoping to disabuse them of what I suspect their expectations are. The notion that it's only a month long, how much work can it be? And the answer is a lot. Be prepared. 15 weeks in 20 days. Yeah. It's going to take some time. So I got a new paperclip, and I think it's working much better. It's a large-scale paperclip, and I'm able to actually wrap the cord of the earbud around it to give it a little extra stability. And it seems to be holding the microphone quite nicely. So there's that. Yesterday wasn't quite as beastly hot. Not quite sure what the status is on the fires. I believe the president's flying in down to Colorado Springs today to take a look at the disaster. There's something over 200, maybe 300 homes burned. That's a lot of houses. Fire's still burning. I don't know where it is, but it's still burning. That one is pretty much overshadowing all the other fires in the city, in the state. It's a gorgeous morning, a little bit chilly, a little bit cool. I won't say chilly, it's like 65 at the moment. I opened the windows and started a coffee this morning, so we should have, some fresh air in the house. Chris Rush had an interesting post yesterday about critics and critiques, and I thought it was an interesting take. I completely agree with her, in large part because I understand where she's coming from. Having been through one of the workshops and having had the experience of giving this sort of peer review, which was, I liked it, I'd buy it, and that's all. You don't talk about it, you don't discuss it, you don't dissect it. Would you buy it? Did you like it enough to buy it? And the interesting one is, I didn't like it, but I would buy it. And that's a really interesting... She's talking about short stories primarily. She's talking about storytelling in general. I think it applies to novels. I think it applies to pretty much every form If you were an acquiring editor, would you pay the author for his work? And as a reader, the problem with being a reader is that you usually have to pay before you can read it, although samples are a good way. Now, with samples, it's not like you're going to, as a reader, if you don't like the sample, you're not going to buy it just because you like the author or something like that. It's not like, as an editor, you're actually acquiring it for other people and you think other people might like to read it, so you'll acquire it and publish it. As a reader, the population is a lot smaller. It's you. And would you read it? Would you buy it? Would you read it? Do you like it? Now, way too often, the sale fails at the cover. If you can't get past the cover, then you never see the blurb. And quite frequently, I'll see the cover and sample on the basis of the cover. Although more frequently, I'll see the cover, check the blurb, and then sample. Without looking at reviews, a lot of people look at reviews. It's like, I don't really have a lot to say about reviews. 3 stars, 5 stars, 1 star. Sometimes when you look at the 1-star reviews, you think, really? You gave it a 1-star review because of that? It's like the guy who marked down half share because he didn't like the end of ownership. Really? Brand Gamblin ran into a problem with a reviewer this week. It's kind of a punk review. Book blogger. I don't necessarily want to send any more traffic his way. It was kind of a damning with faint praise. It was really a kind of justification for why this book blogger doesn't accept self-published books. And as such, it was obvious that he had an agenda that actually didn't include the work. So it was kind of an interesting take. And it's somewhat grasping when the review takes as one of its main themes the obvious pen name of its author. Really? And then to have somebody who probably should have known better pile on. Yeah, that was kind of unfortunate. But the Chris Rush thing, Business Rush on Thursday, was very good this week. And for some reason she thought it was going to generate a firestorm of comments. And while it generated a lot of comments, I think most of them looked like they were pretty positive comments to me. Started out with the notion that no book is perfect, and that every time you give a book to a critique, the goal is to find something wrong with it, and they always do. And she gave examples that I thought were quite telling, in that she used Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream and Romeo and Juliet as exemplars of the kinds of things that she would do in a workshop that would not necessarily result in a stronger work. And I thought that was a really good observation, that the real critic, the real telling kind of review is they bought the sample, they liked it enough to buy the book. They voted with their dollars. And there's more silliness about people who have had reviews extracted from Amazon. You know, this is not something that I've ever had a problem with. So I don't know really quite how to respond to it. Most of the people who've had reviews taken away were guilty of one of, possibly guilty of one of two things. Either they bought a review, which is illegal, they're not allowed to do that. Paid reviews aren't allowed to go into the customer review field. You can quote Kirkus or Publishers Weekly or one of those if you want in your product description. Those are editorial reviews. You can't put those in as customer reviews. And the other thing is sock puppetry. Now, sock puppet, for those of you who are not quite up, sock puppet is an identity established in order to disguise the original source. And there have been several people in the last few months, year and a half or so, who have been caught with as many as 100 sock puppets. Now, that's a lot of work to set up 100 Amazon sock puppets. I can't even imagine how desperate they must be in order to set up 100 sock puppets. So, reviews that look like they've been copied from another site. So, I think people who copy the review from Goodreads and put it onto Amazon run into a plagiarization problem. People who use false accounts to establish reviews run into the, run into the sock puppet rule. People who pay for reviews run into that one a lot. So it's been about every month or so somebody else complains that they've lost a couple of reviews. And it's always a couple of the best reviews. They never complain about losing the one stars. Wonder why. And honestly, I have no idea. There are times I think like I've had like 300 reviews on QuarterShare, and I don't know that there's that many anymore. 280 maybe. And in truth, does it matter? I don't think so. It might help a little bit in stickiness and visibility. When people search for five-star reviews, the books with higher ratings, they won't find my book if it's got too many low ratings, but that's all right. Now the other one was another FUD piece from some unattributed author in another venue who is concerned that Amazon is singling out independent authors for reduced visibility, failing to promote them as much as they have in the past. And while there's been a certain amount of price pressure put on by Amazon by rating books that have relatively lower sales rankings higher in popularity lists than those with lower prices, I think there's a certain rationale there that says almost as many people or a substantially similar number of people are willing to pay a relatively higher price. And so this book must, by its nature, be more popular than the ones where just anybody's going to want to pick up at $2.99. Now, $4.95, the share books fall below that line. And as such, they don't show up quite as high on popularity lists as other books that are priced at $7.99. The evidence that they're quoting is rather specious and has always been rather specious. Yes, Amazon changes the algorithms. Occasionally those changes work against people with lower priced books, but it isn't because they're independently published. Amazon doesn't care. Amazon only wants profit. And if higher priced books can sell more, then Amazon is going to promote the higher priced books. That only makes sense. I said that wrong. If higher priced books can generate more profit, then Amazon is going to promote higher priced books. Particularly of late, where it seems pretty clear that people are not quite as price stuck as perhaps they might have been in the beginning. $7.95, $7.99 is not perceived as being quite the outrageous price that it used to be, particularly since more and more books are falling into the $4.99 to $7.99 range. A lot of people are putting their books up at $5.99 now. And I suspect Captain's Share and Owner's Share will likewise go to $5.99. I suspect Robin is going to want to push those numbers up. We'll see. See if she makes her deadlines. Yes, she has some. No, I'm not sharing them. So let's see. Almost back. Walking across the end of the park. Should be about 20 of 7. I have to get my 3 hours of writing in this morning. I was going to mow the backyard today, but I can do that tomorrow. Or maybe I will do it. I don't know. If I start at 8, I'll be done in plenty of time by 9 to be able to write. So perhaps I will. I don't know. We'll see. It does need to get done. I have to get done either today or tomorrow. So, with that in mind, we'll take it one day at a time. Eep, eep, trip, stumble. Crossing the street. Here I am, one last time. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I'll talk to you then.